Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Kalen Patterson, Midwest Muscle, P4P Real Talk in the house. And this program is sponsored by none other than P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. And if you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals like a Mack truck through ice cream, I'm telling you, that's a heck of a truck. Check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now let's talk. I mean, we had a very interesting show on Tuesday, a very interesting topic. And if you guys really enjoyed it, let people know. And if you didn't have a chance to listen to it, go to the archives and see what I'm talking about. Unfortunately, tonight, Desiree will not be joining us. So it's just me and our guest, but I guarantee we'll fill this time with lots of good information, and you'll get to know another natural athlete and find out what makes them want to do what they do and why they do what they do, and find out if it's something that you find similar background with. And if you got your questions, as always, feel free to ask. I'm talking with Chad Curtis tonight. He's an NGA pro. And, we'll let him introduce himself, and we'll get this show going. Chad, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good, Kalen. How about yourself?
I'm doing excellent, man. Introduce yourself to our listeners, and we'll get this show going.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a fitness coach here in Grand Rapids. I've been in the fitness industry now here in the city for, well, I'd say, about 8 years. Grew up in the Grand Rapids area. I've been doing physique competitions for probably about 5 years now, 9 days out from my pro natural debut here in Grand Rapids. This will be show number 7, second natural show, but definitely have always been very passionate about the natural, lifestyle and wanting to promote that as, a healthier way of going about things. And so just very proud to be stepping on the stage here in a few days and just kind of representing that whole brand.
Well, there you go. You said something very interesting, and it's something that really, I guess because I come from a place that has many natural outlets and avenues to compete, it was kind of a culture shock to see that, basically where you guys were fighting for the right to compete at an even keel and everybody on the same page. How excited were you when you heard that there were natural outlets and natural shows that you can compete in that region?
Oh, very. I've competed in NPC up until last year, and I've always been natural. Been fortunate to win the GR show 2 times, but, to hear that kind of a respectable natural organization was coming to the city and putting on a quality show, I was very exciting because, you always do wonder, just personally, what if there was a level playing field? What if you were going to, with all the blood, sweat, and tears you put into it, if, everyone else was on that same level platform, what the results would be, how things would be different, maybe same. I was very pleased with the show. The organizations that I've been involved in. So it's been a lot of fun, and there's definitely a lot of great athletes out there, a lot of great natural athletes that, work hard and, they always want to go about it, in the natural way, so.
Mm-hmm. And then, one of the things that I've always appreciated is that, as you have shows like the Roar and the Michigan State, there's a lot of things that happen that basically set the platform of what's expected and what is going to happen. And, I noticed at the posing seminar that we had a great time there, but there were some people that were kind of turned off simply because they were being called out. And I don't think they were being called out or challenged. I think that was just setting the foundation of what is expected for the people that were going to show up at the venue. When you have that kind of atmosphere, you're setting the tone that's going to rub some people the wrong way. As an athlete, how did you feel to hear that information being set forth about what is expected from the athletes that are going to be competing?
You mean in terms of, like, testing and all of that?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, very happy with that, I guess there are different places, and you hear about things where, you know, maybe there's a scenario where, you know, someone didn't adhere to the rules, and then it kind of slides by the wayside. That's unfortunate, you know, for the people that did follow through in the right way, you know. But for me, it was gratifying. It was very, like, reassuring, I think, to just hear that this organization takes things seriously and they want to do things the right way, and they wanted to be upfront about that. Don't try anything because, you know, we want to have a good reputation. So For me personally, I like to be, you know, part of an organization and a show that, you know, has kind of that upfront, lead from the front mentality, that we're not just trying to get around things, but we're trying to, you know, as they call it, the Natty Revolution, that, you know, we want a certain way and we want to be known for a certain lifestyle, and that we can promote health and wellness and longevity. And, you know, I just couldn't be more on board with that. So that was great to hear for sure.
Yeah. And one of the good things about it is that when you have that kind of information set forth, you know that he's got shows in the past where he's already sent out the drug testing results to the competitors and also made them official so other people can read along. That's got to be a great feeling knowing, like you said, because scenarios will happen where, you know, it wasn't done or wasn't seen all the way through, and there was somebody that had a chance to slip through the cracks. As an athlete, that's got to be just an awesome feeling knowing, hey, this truly is going to be a level playing field, and I will be standing against natural athletes, especially coming from that region.
Oh.
And having a closing seminar that awakens people's minds to understand that it truly is going to happen. Because, you know, a lot of times we have the pipe dreams, I wish, and then maybe 5 years down the line, you might see something remotely close. This was something that not only was being talked about, but was being done and had been done. So, you know, as an athlete, I'm sure that had to feel great. As a coach and as somebody that's basically living that lifestyle, that's got to basically awaken your mind to be motivated even more, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, like you mentioned, I'm a fitness coach in the city and, you know, have a lot of clients that are interested in doing shows and, you know, wanting to always encourage them to, you know, go with the natural route and go you know, with a reputable show like this one, and to know that it is legit, and you know, you're not going to spend many, many months and weeks, you know, training with somebody and just pouring everything into them, and then, you know, they get up there and it's not not legit. You know, it's not a level playing field. So, wanting for both sides, you know, myself and them, you know, wanting to see them do really well. So. Yeah, for me personally and for, you know, people that I'm working with, it's great to know that that's out there, and it's only growing, you know. I think there's a momentum, not only in this region, but I think just overall for health and wellness, and that kind of breeds the natural lifestyle. So, I mean, that's just really cool to see. Even from a few years ago, it seems like it's grown more and more that people are talking about that. You know, maybe you've seen that as well, that it kind of seems to be organic in that way.
Well, you know, it feeds on itself, and I like that, you know, people have an interest in being healthy, and then they find a goal, and then they find out the shows, and then they want to compete to basically stay motivated, to stay healthy, to keep reaching other goals. So, you know, it's a self-sustaining practice if it's done correctly, and, you know, the good thing about being a natural athlete is that you can do this for the rest of your life if you so choose, as long as you take the healthy format and healthy foundation. Because there, I noticed that even though there's a lot more health risks involved in competing in the, you know, in the enhanced region, there's also a lot of health risks with bad teaching in the natural side. And as a coach, I'm sure you've had horror stories yourself where it's like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe this information is still out there, because it's not really information at all. It's more like we call bro science. So, you know, as, you know, more and more shows are being brought out and more information and better coaching and better nutrition is being put out there, how do you see this going, other than, you know, basically invading other regions that are just unknown to natural bodybuilding? Because I think that's a big thing, whether people understand it or not, where health and fitness is not only being explained, but also being put on stage and shown.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the poor coaching, I think, what can compound, you know, if you're going the enhanced route, and of course, like you mentioned, the health risks that come with that. But then on the flip side, even if you, you know, are on the non-enhanced side of things and you have, you know, poor coaching or, you know, following a bad practice in terms of a prep can really be detrimental to your health as well in a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I think over the past few years, you know, shows in general, I think, have grown. The whole sport has grown. I know in the last, you know, even since I began 5 years ago, men's physique and definitely women's bikini has exploded. And just to see, I guess for me, it's real positive and gratifying to be in that industry, but know that, you know, you're giving people good advice. You're steering them in a healthy way that's going to sustain them, that if they want to compete once, twice, three times, you know, keep this, as you said, as a lifestyle for the long term, you know, competing for years
mm-hmm.
at a time, that they can still do that and sustain it and in a healthy way that's not going to, you know, basically I'm saying I didn't want to see things, this sport grow and have it be done in a poor way with multiplication
yes.
of, you know, choices. And then we got a whole bunch of unhealthy people running around, you know. So
exactly.
That's good. I like that it's going the right way. So.
No, that's true, because it's very important, because if you don't have it, then basically you're just setting people up to fail in life. And I don't know any true coach that's worth their salt that would say, okay, this is a good idea, and let's keep going with it. We have a question from Dave, and Dave's saying, you know, as a coach, not so much a competitor, but as a coach, when you have the option for enhanced or natural, and somebody that's on the borderline of wanting to do either and possibly take enhanced drugs, what do you possibly put out there to let them know, you know, the better choice, or, you know, just for own personal reasons, if it's something you want to do with being a coach at all?
Yeah, I mean, I guess in that scenario, I just always go back to my personal experience that, you know, hey, you know, you got two options on the table. It's your choice what you do, but I would much rather see you take the natural route, and that's my experience. So as a coach, I try to be very transparent with them that, you know, all of the work that I've put in, success I've had, has come from that side of the table. So not
yeah.
only am I not, you know, fully, I guess you could say, experienced in that other side, because it's, you know, as you know, a whole new ball game when you get into all that and how your body reacts and chemistry and everything. But, you know, that's my experience is on this side of the table. I would always encourage someone to go that route. That's where I think we have our best success, if not immediately, but in the long term. Because I'm thinking if I get a potential client that is interested in a show, I'd rather say, you know, hey, as someone who cares about you as an individual, let's wait, you know, let's work together for one and a half, maybe 2 years, build your body, go through a couple off seasons the right way instead of,
mm-hmm.
you know, going the other route and pumping out, you know, in a 5 month prep and getting on stage really fast, you know. So I really try to have that conversation with people that, you know, this can be done, you know, if you want to put the work in, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, he also addressed this to me, and I'm going to answer it the way I always answer it. And I say, you know, I don't work with the enhanced community. I just don't do it. For one, it's above my pay grade. I have no idea about the stuff that they're talking about, dealing with the chemicals these guys are saying. I know the names. I recognize the names. But like you said, I don't know the chemical makeup and what it's going to do for your body. I know it's going to damage it. That much I know. But as far as the aesthetics of it, it's just, for me, this is real talk, so I'm going to just be me. It's selling death, and I can't be a part of that. And, you know,
yeah.
the end. For what you're doing is dying, and basically you're killing yourself to make it happen. And I just can't get on board with that. I mean, that goes to my beliefs, how I was raised. And if you're not helping people, you're hurting them. And I can't see drug use or drug addiction that goes to people's detriment somehow or another. Yeah. It's supposed to be a good thing. So, you know, I make it very clear to my clients that I work with. I tell them all the time, you know, when you cross that road where you say this is what you want to do, then it's time for another coach, because I can't be any part of that. And then don't sneak it around where, you know, I want to work with you because I'm seeing the results, but I just want to see them faster, Vester, because, you know, being with P4P, an all-natural supplement company, my whole life has been on the natural side, you know, so there's no regrets or anything like that. But there are certain things that I just cannot sign on to simply because of the background that Des and I have with the natural side of the industry, and we're both very passionate about it, but we also have given our full reputations to it, and I can't see, you know, diminishing that just because some client wants to pay me to basically get them in the enhanced community and still be competitive. So I basically checked out on that arena. I'm truly sold out on the natural side. Like I said, it aligns with my beliefs, my belief in God, and I just can't be seen, you know, but I say the same thing about every other drug or every other prescription addiction. I just can't be a part of that to help someone get better at getting worse. I guess that's the best way to say it. Anything you'd like to add?
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't agree more, really. You're kind of opening up Pandora's box for a short-term benefit. I mean, I would just hate to say, you know, for a prescription addiction, like you said, you know, maybe they go this route for a few months and then it kind of snowballs and turns into something where, you know, years down the road, they're still involved and it's causing other issues for them. And the genesis was you and where you began. And, you know, like you said, for reputation's sake, I just don't want any part of that, you know, in my lot. So that's for sure.
Yeah. And the follow-up is from Brenda, and she's saying, you know, if a guy or girl chooses to use, then they've already made a choice that goes against what the natural lifestyle is about. As natural athletes, it's kind of hypocritical to still support that. To me, that's I get what you're saying, but I'll let Chad answer that, then I'll follow up.
You know, again, I just wouldn't advocate for that. Again, like you said, I'm kind of checked out on the whole thing. It's just not something that I understand. I definitely use a very specific method and, you know, a tedious way of coaching someone towards the show. And there's certain variables and, checkpoints that we're looking for along the way, and how that all plays in. It's really a whole different beast. You know, it's a whole different animal you're trying to skin there. So, you know, I don't think I would be able to give them, you know, the right approach. I wouldn't want to, but just, yeah, reputation's sake, I'd rather just, you know, either encourage them to not, and if they decide to, you know, there's probably a better coach out there for you in that scenario.
Yeah. And just to tack on to that, you know, I always speak against it. I don't care how many feathers I ruffle. When you're talking about someone's life, like I said, no coach, no true coach is going to be okay with someone basically choosing to do less with their life. It's that simple. And I can't see saying, you know, this is always going to be an okay option because you're willing to pay me to do it. If the money means that much, then I'm in the wrong sport. I mean, I'm in the wrong business. And, you know, personal training and personal health and personal nutrition choices, they're personal. I mean, if you can't look at a person as a human being and looking for the best outcome, the best outcome, not one they want to hear or something they want to like or something they want to do bucket list, if it's risking their health, then I would say so there's something wrong with that. And, you know, get this person mentally evaluated, where they're saying it's okay to ruin my health to look healthy. That's incredibly crazy. I don't believe in bro science. I don't believe in anything that's going to diminish the person's health or well-being and somehow or another say it's a good thing because they get first place on stage. That's just insane. I simply cannot sign off on it. Chad, anything else to add to that?
I mean, and the biggest thing is it can be done. Like, you can definitely have huge success, you know, either in the natural world or in the unnatural world, you know, if you stay natural yourself. It can't, you know, I'm living proof that if you're willing to put in the time, the years, the details, make the sacrifices, which there will be a lot of those, you know, in a coaching scenario, then you can have tremendous success. I mean, you can win. You can, you know, learn a lot about yourself. I always encourage people, you know, in a coaching scenario to, you know, to learn about yourself along the way. Like, don't take shortcuts. You know, there's joy in the journey of what you're building. You know, laying bricks every day. Even if you're saying, hey, I'd love to do a show in 6 months, but your body is just not there yet. I mean, take 3 years and build it and put in the work, you know, hit those hard workouts, make sacrifices, get your meals in, learn along the way. I mean, and then when you do get up there and you get a great placing or you feel like you do really well, I mean, you know, I always try to tell people the joy in that, of that accomplishment, the harder the journey is, the longer it takes you to get there, the better it is. Like, don't shortcut yourself on that. It's such a cool feeling, and you know, so go for that. Go for the best route.
Yeah. Before I share this one that Mark said, one thing that I always enjoy is that you know you did it. There's no skeletons in the closet. There's no regrets. Yeah. There's nothing you have to hide from mom and dad or anybody that came out to support you. It's basically a bunch of hard work, focused diet, the dedication, sacrifice. That all these things go hand in hand with what you're doing. But you know it was you. I mean, that's the one thing I loved about playing sports is that, you know, it was our team. It was us. You know, we didn't have the cheat sheet. We didn't have the other team's playbook. It was us basically giving our all, and sometimes we got the win and sometimes we got the loss, but we were all us doing it. And I took a great joy in that. And then there was a great pride knowing that the team won and not basically somebody that was drugged up and got us over the hump. Because to me, it was never – It's almost like you take the win away by cheating, because that's what happens. Even if you win, you don't really win because you lose.
Mm-hmm.
You lose because of everything you've done to get the first place trophy. I mean, there's plenty of first place trophy winners that aren't winners. They just have the first place trophy. And, you know, you have to live with that. And some people can. You know, they end up on drugs a lot worse than the enhancements. But, you know, they have to find some way to bury that conscience that's basically screaming at them when they're going to lay their head down and go to bed. They're doing things with their moral character because they've taken a step down. There's a whole lot of things that are negative about that, trying to win by basically putting your life at risk. You have to be morally lessened. You have to be, I mean, just... Your humanity has to take a side seat, I guess, where, you know, where this is all that matters. And I'm very interested because the listeners are keying in on this. So I think we got the right person as a guest to answer these questions, because you basically had to deal with this and see it firsthand. I know when I went to an NPC show in Illinois and just seeing – the bathroom waste can, I was scared to death for the people that had to throw away the garbage, that they wouldn't get stuck with some of those needles that were sitting in the trash. So, you know, coming out of that environment, and now having the natural shows basically coming in, when you're dealing with athletes that want to compete, you don't even have to talk about the enhanced realm because, you know, now there's natural shows that they can attend.
Yeah. Yeah, there's lots of options, you know, and it was definitely different, you know. You know, it's in those locker rooms, you know, like you were saying, I competed 1 year junior nationals in Chicago after winning the GR, and, you know, walking in there was a great experience, but, you know, it was such a different world. It was such a different beast, you know, with those guys that, you know, it just wasn't a fair fight. You could tell that from being on a national stage, which is okay. You know, going in there, looking around like, you know, I might be the only one in here, you know,
yeah.
This lifestyle, which was fine, you know, because like you said, you can lay your head down at night, you sleep well, you know, that's my personal peace. Like, I didn't have any problem with that. If, you know, not getting a great placement there was totally okay, because now, you know, it's paid off, you know, down the road with the natural shows. But definitely a learning experience. But now when people come and, you know, they're considering that route, something I always ask people when they're, you know, inquiring about coaching and that scenario with me is, you know, what's your motivation? Like, why do you want to do this? What's your grand plan, you know? And I think mm-hmm. if their reasoning to want to do the show is something to do with, you know, maybe it's a pride thing, or I want to take this stuff because, you know, I need this emotionally, or I want to get to this certain place. Like, I try to dig, really see what that is. And like you
yeah.
were saying earlier, if it's something that I can't be at peace with enhancing or helping them do, then I'd rather not do that. You know, I'm all about helping someone be better as a person, grow, challenge themselves. But if they're doing it for the wrong reasons, then I would just encourage them to self-examine, and because that's not going to lead you to a happy place.
Yeah, it never does. And I know we are a materialistic nation. Things in front of us seem to make us smile more, but inside I've seen people fall apart because they always see after the win or after whatever they did, it just didn't seem to satisfy what they were looking to do. And it's a tough spot to be because, you know, all that time they put in and you're watching them still mentally crumble because they have exactly what they worked for. And I'm talking about on the natural side, not even in the hands. And they realize they're still empty because that's not what they weren't doing it for the right purpose. They weren't doing it with the right train of thought. They weren't doing it with the right frame of mind. And they start going to pieces because they realize, you know, after all that, I still don't feel like I thought I would. That person that they
yeah.
are friends with or someone they follow on the social media was happy already. The person that's been competing was happy just getting ready to compete. The happiness and the
yeah.
joy is already inside. We can't find that from an outside source. No drug can fill that void of what you're looking for. It takes your human
yeah.
side, and you don't need drugs to do that. And I'm glad you put that out there where you keep digging and digging until they give you a straightway answer, because a lot of times people basically just want you to sugarcoat and dance around the truth so they don't have to explain it to themselves, not you. When you have – oh, well, I'm sorry. I have one I have to share because this is one that's a good point, and that's the one for Mark. And it's dealing with the reputation of a coach, because if you have the, you know, reputation of dealing with the enhanced community, then everybody that's coached by you falls under the reputation of being in the enhanced community, whether they are or not. And so that's something I hadn't thought about, but that's a very valid point. How have you thought about that as a coach, or is that something you just said, I'm just mm-hmm. never going to deal with anyway by dealing with the enhanced community?
Yeah. You know, just never looking to deal with that. You know, it is a very good point that, you know, you assume one, you assume all. So, you know, reputation really is everything, especially in the fitness industry, all, I guess, but,
yes.
You know, it's something that I've worked really hard to build, and, you know, I just always want to keep it intact because I think that's one of your most valuable assets.
That's very true. And you don't get it back. I mean, the one thing I've learned
no.
When you when you fall and mess up, you don't get that trust back, and you know, it diminishes the natural side. I mean, I've thought about all these things all the time. You know, what choice am I about to do? You know, hurts my church, hurts my family, and hurts my reputation, and hurts the natural industry. These are the things I think about all the time. I say things in jest and joke, and I'm a big joker. I love to laugh. I love to smile. And I'm a big kidder, but not at the expense of someone else. And it sure won't be at the expense of an industry as a whole, because, you know, so many people before me have worked so hard to build this up. I don't want to be the idiot that tears it down because I had made a stupid choice. And knowing going in that it's just not right for me, for my family, for my church, or for the natural community, there's just too much at risk. And, you know, I've heard, and I'm sure you've heard it too, that the natural bodybuilding is dead. And I know that's not true. I said, because as long as you got people that want to compete, there's an industry. That's the nature of the beast. So I don't worry about that. I don't worry about people wanting to join the enhanced world as much as people are saying that they want to. I know there's mothers and fathers that want to look at their children and know that they love them fully by basically wanting to live their whole life and have their children grow up with them instead of without them by making a poor health decision. They've done everything else right, and they just want to show their children a better way to health, and the natural industry is a good way to do that. Let's get on with another question, and this one's from Jake. And Jake says, you know, as a competitor, do you take time off to compete from your clients, or how do you structure that where you can compete and still deal with them on a daily basis?
No on that. All of the above all the time. Anyone that knows me, I guess, knows I don't take a lot of time off. But, you know, I guess the main thing is them. If I'm working with somebody and, you know, they put their trust in me and their resources, you know, with me in terms of coaching them, whether it's training or, you know, online fitness coaching or, you know, for a competition, you know, they come first. You know, I fit everything around them. You know, I try to at least, you know, cause no one wants to hear, you know, hey, I have a show or I'm tired today or,
right.
You know, service is everything and this reputation, you know, it's your choice. And, you know, I just never try to use that as a, you know, hey, can I get back to you? It's, you know, what's ultimately is most important is A, my reputation, B, my service to them and their trust in me and what they've placed there. So, you know, I'd rather, you know, work myself to the hilt than make them wait or, you know, have to sacrifice something just because of, you know, my personal pursuit.
there you go. And that's a great answer, and I love it because I can't imagine where you're saying, you know, give me a minute, I'll get back to you, because they're saying, I need you right now, and I need your help. So that usually means right now, not 15 minutes from now. It's all kinds of insanity that happens with being a coach, and I'm sure you've got some great stories you could share, but we're not going to get into that. Let's just talk about you now. We've basically heard what, we've heard the how, and now we need the why. You know, why is what got you started in this? Give us a little bit of background. Desiree would be killing me right now for not asking that initially a lot sooner. What started you in this crazy, wacky world that we call natural bodybuilding, and what keeps you motivated to do so?
Wow. Well, it started a long, long time ago, essentially when I was 15. I had a kind of a crazy, wild, wacky dream when I was younger. I wanted to be in the NBA, wanted to be a pro basketball player, and I guess you could say that when that dream kind of the reality hit on that, I decided, I guess, to pour competitive and athletic energy into something that I knew would garner results if I did A, B, C, and D. So I just started working out, you know, twice a day, fell in love almost immediately. and carried me through college, majored in exercise science at Grand Valley. From there, I started working in the gym industry as fitness director of a club for about 7 years, and that was an incredible experience. Met a lot of amazing people and worked with a lot of great trainers there. And it wasn't until I was about, I think, 25 where I started to say, you know, I've heard about these competitions. People started to, you know, whisper about them to me and, hey, you know, have you ever thought about, and I viewed it as a competitive outlet, a very competitive person, extremely, and, you know, something that had been a kind of a personal passion of mine for a long time. And I thought, man, it would be really cool to compete in that, you know, to see how you stack up against the competition in this area at least, and, you know, see where that could go. The other thought is, the other side of it was always, you know, having that reputation as a fitness coach that, you know, you're an example, you lead by example, you know, you have, in a sense, the pinnacle of fitness in a way. You do it the right way, and you just basically live this as a lifestyle yourself. Because we all know the trainers that, you know, say one thing, do another. But so there was two sides to it, kind of a personal competitiveness for myself, and then, you know, the business side of things where I wanted people to see that transparency, that when I say something, I mean it, I've lived it, I've been through it, and, you know, this is my personal life story. Like, this isn't just something I'm doing as a job or a side thing, you know, this is really truly my passion. So those two things, and just kind of grew, you know, my first show, once I got in it and got my feet wet, you know, then it kind of turned on to where, hey, I want to win now. So just kept going at it, was fortunate to win a few and, you know, turned pro this last year. And it's just kind of wild, you know, what God has done with it and how he's blessed and, you know, has used it, you know, to serve people in different ways and see them be blessed. And it's just, it's definitely been a wild ride.
Oh, I can only imagine. I just got one from an old friend. It's crazy. He went back in the day on me, and it's not really a question. It's more like talking to me. And he says, hey, do you remember that guy from the Kmart warehouse that tried to get you started in the enhanced world? And I won't share his name because it's irrelevant because most people wouldn't even know him anyway. But my dad was a policeman and my mother was a nurse, so I had seen both sides of enhanced use, dealing with roid rages, and then the medical side, basically when they're admitted to the hospital with the enlarged hearts, the failing kidneys, livers, and the tumors. So it was never an option for me. I'd always been turned off from it simply because I got to see sometimes firsthand how bad that stuff can do a human body. It's very destructive, even though people might think they look strong. But anyway, this fella had seen. I was working out, like you said. I was in the gym. I was a gym rat. When the sports didn't work out, I had to turn to some outlet because I was still that active person. You can't just shut it off. And so I turned to weights, and it was a big boost for me because, you know, I got some place to wear myself out other than basketball. And it was a lot of fun. You know, I was learning a lot. I was meeting a lot of new people. I mean, of course, there were the enhanced guys in there, but they were always in there, and it didn't really bother me. They kept to themselves. For the most part, unless you talk to them, and you better be quick with your conversation because they had another set to go. But this fella had seen that, you know, he's seen my body changing and growing, and he sees a lot of potential in me. And so basically he introduced himself at work, and he showed me this picture of him when he was competing, and it was a nice looking picture. You know, I was thinking, wow, there's a lot of muscle on this guy. And then he told me how he got it, and it had turned me off. And, you know, I was kind of disappointed. And, you know, because this is a guy I really thought was trying to give me a compliment, but basically he was just trying to introduce me to the drugs. And I didn't, you know, fly off the handle. I was just more hurt that this guy was complimenting me only to manipulate the scenario of what was going on. But he also was standing in front of me post-drug use because, you know, his body had reacted very negatively to it. I mean, he had a body odor that was beyond comprehension, and it just would not leave because of, you know, his choice of using the drug. And his skin had, I mean, he was like the worst case scenario for drug use other than death. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong. I mean, his body composition had changed drastically. Like I said, he had a body odor that was, I mean, just remarkably strong. It just would not go away. And this man was bathing constantly. I mean, he'd be in the bathroom at work and bathing, basically, because it was getting too strong for him. You can't really imagine how I'm describing it because it was that bad. And he, like I said, he just got the worst of the worst. His skin had become almost scaly. It almost looked like leprosy in some areas. He just caught a really bad state. But he was still believing that, you know, if he could get other people to win that first-place trophy, I guess somehow or another it would make it all worthwhile. And he was showing me these pictures, and he's describing his life. And I'm looking at him, and I was like, well, you know, this, you showed me before picture, which was him back in the day, and then he showed me this picture of him when he was competing, and then I'm looking at him, you know, in present day. And I said, yeah, you showed me the before and you showed me the after, but now you're living the after. What benefit would that do for me when I'm in the same situation you're going to be? I mean, you are now, but my future, this will be my upcoming future, should I choose to do what you're doing? And he didn't have an answer for it. And he was kind of frustrated with me, you know, because, you know, like, how dare I speak to him, you know, when he is in this state? But I'm thinking, this is your choice of why you're in this state. I'm not saying why you're so frustrated with me when all I'm doing is pointing out the obvious of, you know, look at you now. Don't show me the competitive pictures when you were at your, and I put this in air quotes, best, but look at you now and all the destructive things that's happened to your body to where you're not even happy with you. And he was left with no answer, but also a lot of frustration towards me, but I think it was more directed at himself because he hadn't thought of that when he had the chance. Anything to add?
I just couldn't agree more with that, you know, and I've seen it too. I've seen that scenario. It's unfortunate, you know. I don't think people really think that far ahead. You know, where am I going to be in 10, 20, 25, 30 years? And, you know, personally, I want to be, you know, in the same quality of shape 10, 20 years from now that I am now. You know, I want to look somewhat similar, and, you know, things might change a little. But I don't want to be in a – I don't think anybody would want to be in such a drastic change of, you know, yeah, here's my before picture, my middle, and now, unfortunately, here's my after, you know, and kind of be embarrassed about that. And I think it's so hard to, obviously, physiologically, you can't hold that physique without the drugs, you know, which, again, I don't think people really think about, or they're just kind of living in the moment. But
I agree.
In the grand scheme of things, I mean, at some point, you know, you're going to be 40, 50, 60, beyond, you know, and you're going to look, you know, one way or the other. You're going to look good or not so good, and you're going to have people in your life, and what are they going to think about you? And, you know, hey, if you have a wife or something, you know, you want to be in the negative side of that. So,
exactly.
Yeah, I'm always thinking long term. You know, I'm just wired long term, but I know it's just unfortunate when people don't, you know, kind of think 3, 5, 10 steps ahead and what could possibly be the ramifications here, not just health wise, but, you know, the look and, like you said, the smell and just all the little things that kind of go into that. You know, there is a life after competing. You know, this isn't,
amen.
It's not your whole identity. And, you know, what are you going to be after you're done? Like an athlete, you know, after you retire, there's a lot of life left, you know. You want to look good, feel good, you know, be, you know, mentally all there. And so I would just, I couldn't agree more with you.
Yeah, and it just hurts because, you know, this fella, I think up until that point, thought he was doing some good. You know, and it's shocking as that may sound, because he was raised up in that understanding, he would think that way. And he was more upset with me for calling him out. And, you know, my boy, I really thank you for pointing that out, because I had totally forgotten about that. But, yeah, it's funny. I mean, they're not funny in a ha-ha way, but just how deeply ingrained it is in some minds that this is an okay way of living. You know, and I said, you know, if you took that same scenario and turned it to heroin or turned it to cocaine or crack or, you know, Oxycontin addiction or whatever, you would say this person really needs help, and they're bragging about a crazy drug choice. But for some reason in this country and a lot of other countries, this is acceptable practices where it's okay for people to make these decisions and walk amongst the public like nothing is really wrong. I said, if you had a heroin addict that was basically high as a kite and you said, well, they're doing great work, so, you know, just let them go. I can't imagine any workplace saying this is okay. I can't imagine somebody being on cocaine and just running 50 miles an hour and doing the best work production, so just let them go. I can't see. For some reason, we say this person walks in a gym and he's using drugs. Well, he's stronger, but he's destroying himself in the process, and somehow or another let him go because, you know, it's okay with society. And I'm saying then there's something wrong with that, and we need to stand on our own understanding that health and fitness is a much better option than basically having the appearance of it. Chet.
Yeah. Just couldn't agree more with you. That it's that's a good point. You know, there's a lot of other drugs out there that aren't lifted up on the pedestal that these ones are. Never really thought about that before, but that is very true. But yeah, I would just encourage people to think long term. You know, to think of, you know, like you said, this isn't. I don't want to look like I'm fit and healthy, but actually want to be fit and healthy and kind of reach the pinnacle of that, you know, and be able to sustain this, that I don't have to look back one day at a photo album and say, man, you know, those were the days.
Oh, wow.
I looked great. But,
yeah.
You know, if you only could have seen me then, you know, how about, you know, just go at it the right way, live a great lifestyle, and you don't have to have the photo album. You know, you can still look good and feel good and you know, that's a much better route, I think.
Yeah, you're a much better living photo album than basically being the guy at the gym saying, you know, 20 years ago I used to look just like you and bigger.
That
conversation never gets old.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, those are great. Love those. That's great.
I'm sure as a coach you probably hear that more than you care to admit.
Oh, I just heard one the other day, and, you know, I just smile, and, you know, it's cool, though.
That's cute. Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, if they need to relive through us, then I'm happy for it. But it's always nice when you can have the full conversation and not omit certain parts of your life because of your choice of how you're going to get that appearance that you present before the world. Chet, is there anything that you'd like to share with the athletes? I do need to get your information, so put that out there on the air, because you are a coach, and we definitely have listeners that are seeking them out. They just don't know the area or the region. So where do you hail from? What's your gym? What's your Facebook, so they can get all this information? Mm-hmm. And basically, if you have somebody in your region, they can contact you.
Yeah, absolutely. You can check out my website for sure. That's proedgefit.com. And then my Instagram, of course, I use that a lot. That's at Chad Curtis Fitness, just how you think it would be spelled. And then Facebook is just Chad Curtis. You can also find my Facebook page. facebook.com/proedgefit. I have a lot of client photos on there and just kind of service. I do online fitness coaching, competition coaching, and personal training. I work out of a few gyms in the Grand Rapids area, so kind of independently. But, yeah, I guess fitness has been my passion for a long time. You know, it's, I guess, people, I guess, are synonymous with something in their life. And, you know, faith, family, fitness has always been my three.
I like that.
I try to build around them and just keep it simple. You know, I love what I do. I love helping people, serving people. I think people really, especially in today's day and age, they're craving just a genuine, transparent, you know, relationship. Someone that, like we were talking about earlier, cares about their success, their well-being. Someone
yes.
that really, truly wants to help them and wants to, you know, make a difference in the world, use their gifts. And, you know, I feel like I've been gifted in certain ways, and I definitely want to, you know, put that out there that, you know, I think it's been super exciting, you know, the people I've been able to help over the years, but definitely feel I'm only getting started, you know. And, you know, if you're out there and you'd like to inquire, you know, definitely check out, you know, the resources I mentioned. Would love to meet you, connect, you know, learn a little bit about your story, and, you know, see if we would be a good fit, you know, absolutely.
Amen to that. And any good coach doesn't accept everyone. They realize there's limits to who they are. Like you said, you're still growing. We all are. And there's some people that just aren't a good fit. And I'm not saying that you're a bad person. I'm not saying I'm a bad coach. I'm not saying Chad's a bad coach. I'm just saying sometimes personalities clash. And if you really care about a person's health, the last thing you want to do is be a limit upon their success. And sometimes it does happen in coaching simply because there is conflict from day one. It's not something people like to admit. I mean, coaches feel they can work with anyone. We all do. But there are just some times where there's just a clash in basically mindsets, and it's to keep you from being limited and stop your progress, get to another coach as soon as possible, and start building that better you, because it just sometimes it just doesn't work out. And it's not saying that either side has to be bad. You might be going in different directions, and it is what it is. Chad,
yeah.
For the people that are basically learning fitness for the first time, what are some of the drawbacks that keeps that from growing? How do you open and awaken a mind to understand that a lot of times the limits that are placed upon them don't have to be shackles? They just have to be an understanding that you don't know until you know better. What do you tell that person?
Someone that's just getting started, maybe that's struggling
yes.
a little bit. And I would tell them, you know, find a vision, you know, create a vision for yourself. What do you want your legacy to be? You know, think down the road, think long-term, you know, fast forward 10, 20 years. Do you have a family? You know, what are you building? What do you want to pass on? You know, what do you want to be known for? Like we talked about, what do you want your reputation to be? How do you want to feel? I don't think many people really realize how good their body was designed to feel. You know, as I mentioned, fitness has been my passion for a long time. I love the grind of it. You know, I love the nuts and bolts of, you know, reps and, you know, getting into the gym and getting in early and, you know, the smell and the sound, and, you know, all of those
yeah.
little things.
Great.
And I think there's joy, there's pride in that if you can start to build habits, you know, think lifestyle. That's what I love to help people build the most is not, hey, let's get you in great shape in 60 days. It's how can we build something that you can, yeah, you've heard that. How can we build something that can grow and be sustainable, like for your lifetime, that you can pass on,
yes.
that your kids will see, that your family will see that, man, you know, this person, they feel good, they look good, they have a vibrance about them, they enjoy life, you know, their body functions well. That's what I like to help people achieve.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I'm going to put this out there for Mark. Had another one he wanted to add, and he said, naturals have the master's classes, and we ain't stopping. We will aim to win Masters, then step back on stage and win the Open. Why should we think we cannot? And I think we omitted that by saying, you know, with the athletes in competition, that we don't have to stop after so many years of abusing our bodies because we're taking such good care of them. We can basically compete until we decide we don't want to compete anymore. And that's a great option. That's a great point, Mark. Thanks for pointing that out. Chad, do you have anything to add to that?
That's absolutely true. Yeah, you know, I think going that route, you can live it. You know, you can live. There's sustainability. You can have a pace there that, you know, yeah, you can jump back in and your body will respond. So, yeah, I love that approach.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So now, Chad, you basically had a lot of success, but I know and you know that it didn't happen on your own. This is the time we give our guests the chance to give shout-outs to all and anyone who has supported you throughout the years.
Yeah, I would say, number one, family. When I was growing up, I guess still kind of fueling the fire to the passion originally, you know, putting up with me, getting my workouts in on holidays and getting my meals in and, you know, buying certain foods I wanted. And, you know, even now I would just say friends and family that, they understand what I do and they, I guess you could say put up with it. They, you know, I have my meals and a certain way and they understand that. And they, I think they respect it. And, all of the, I would say coworkers and people from the gym setting, you know, through the years and college, I would say, you know, just I've met a lot of amazing people that you know, are hard workers and have really contributed a lot. But mostly, I would just say friends and family that have supported me and always come to the shows and cheered and showed their support. And you know, that means a lot. You know, when you got people that are behind you and you know, you feel like you're kind of fighting for a village behind you. So that's you want to make them proud and you want to do well for their name too. So that's definitely what's been a motivation.
Oh, I love that. And that's very well said. And I love your answers. It's been a great show. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Yeah,
I know our listeners have as well. And a lot of times they give hearts, and you got a lot of them, a lot of smiley faces. You got a lot of those too with a lot of your points you made. And, you know, for the people that are in your region that are thinking about taking an ANF route, I hope that they're awake now and they can see that that's something that you don't have to do. I know when I was visiting a gym in Bolingbrook, Illinois, and one of the enhanced guys had come up to me and he was sharing his story. And then he found out that I wasn't on the same drugs that he was. And he said, you know, it just hurt my heart to hear it, but he said it. And he said, you know, if I knew like that about drugs, then I would have never chosen to do them. And that just hurt me. I mean, he meant it as a compliment, but it hurt so bad because I realized, you know, this guy's going to have hip issues. He's going to have joint issues. And he was already starting to have them. So you know it's only going to progress and get progressively worse. And it just hurt to hear, but I'm sure in your region you see this a lot more than me.
Yeah. Yep, you know, the regret, there's, you know, if you can avoid that, you know, what a great thing. You don't have to go that route. You know, like I say, you can have great success going the other way. You don't have to look back over the years and say, man, what could have been? Could I have avoided this? Could I have avoided, you know, hampering my family with this burden because I have this issue now?
Right.
You know, there is a way you can do it. You know, and I think there's way more joy in that sustained journey, you know, than the other route. So
I totally agree. Well, Chad, anything else you'd like to add before we end the show?
No, it's just been great, great chatting with you. Covered a lot of great topics. It's really been awesome to kind of hear your perspective, and hope to be on again.
All right, brother. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, take it easy.
Hey, you too, brother. Have a great night. Well, there you had Chad. Great job on the show. A great full answer. I'm to the listeners, I really appreciate your respect for him and just showing your love to his responses. I'm glad you could follow along with him. And I'm glad we had a great show tonight, Des. We missed you as always. It's never fun when I have to do the show solo. I miss my PIC. I hope all is well and everything is going fine on your end. Thanks again for all the listening questions and comments. I truly enjoy it. And I'm going to end it, as Des would always say, your body is a temple, so let's build it.